Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Peter Berkowitz. He is at the Hoover Institution, and he writes a column for Real Clear Politics. He turns his attention to human rights. That's a phrase that's been in American political conversation at least since Jimmy Carter's administration in the late 20th century. And it has a particular definition that is moving all the time. Right now, I ask Peter to give us a definition that's useful for the revelations about how human rights claims are abused by NGOs. Peter, a very good evening to you. What's a working definition? It's quite distinct from civil rights.
Yes. Actually, the American founding can help us. The Declaration of Independence speaks of unalienable rights. Those are rights that inhere in you just because you're a human being. The Declaration indicated life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. This is not about special rights for this group or that group. It's not about special rights that are conferred by the Constitution. These are the rights in the light of which constitutions should be formed. These are the rights that all constitutions, all legitimate government should secure. These are the rights also that are spoken of in the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, which provides a relatively austere list. What they are not is a progressive wish list of political items to be accomplished contrary to majority preference.
The UN Charter, I learned from your reporting, has a preamble that writes, faith in fundamental human rights. And Article 1, the principle of equal rights and self-determination of peoples. Now, these documents are a product of the catastrophe of the Second War and the First War. They're written and drafted an agreement with many nations, but chiefly the United States and its allies, in 1945. The words human rights appear. What did they mean then? Do we know, Peter? Has it changed in 80 years?
Well, it certainly changed in 80 years, and we know what they had in mind. They had in mind in list of rights, the list of rights that was solemnized in the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, which the General Assembly voted to adopt in 1948. And you're exactly right, John. Then they understood that they had countries and cultures and civilizations from all over the world to bring along. They deliberately kept the list austere in order to identify those actions that no state anywhere would acknowledge that it had done, and those actions which all states would recognize they have an obligation to do. So, for example, prohibition, torture, the right not to be tortured. That's a human right. Freedom of speech, religious freedom. These are fundamental rights. But special groups are not mentioned. Policy agenda items are not mentioned. These are supposed to be the rights that structure a basic and just constitutional order and which give human beings of different civilizations a framework within which they can debate controversial policy items.
We come to the United Nations Human Rights Council. What is that, yes, Peter? What is its mission?
Well, its mission is to investigate allegations of abuse of human rights around the world. Unfortunately, the United Nations Human Rights Council has become the United Nations Council devoted to denouncing Israel, whether or not it has committed human rights abuses. A wildly disproportionate amount of its time and energy is devoted to Israel every year. A wildly disproportionate amount of its condemnations are devoted to Israel, even though Israel, the population of Israel is 9 million, a little over 9 million, and the world's population is 8 billion people. Israelis constitute a tiny fraction of the world's population. But if you had to rely on the UN Human Rights Council, you would think that Israel commits the majority of the world's human rights violations.
Background. In 1975, the UN General Assembly voted Resolution 3379, which is condemning of Zionism as racism. Now, the UN General Assembly revoked that in 1981. However, the UN continues to use that general understanding in a as a weapon. Peter cites the 2001 UN World Conference Against Racism in Durham, South Africa, restated Zionism as racism. That was then. This is now. We've got to apply ourselves, Peter, to the fact that there's more than the UN playing this word game now. There are lots of NGOs. I learned from a recent article you highlighted in your column in the Atlantic magazine by Michael Powell, The Double Standard in Human Rights World. Did the UN begin with the double standard and then other NGOs took it, picked it up, or was it always there, Peter?
I think the double standard was always there, or at least has been there for a long time in the UN world. But in recent times, over the last decade, maybe a little bit more, the NGOs, and for that matter, diplomats at the UN have acquired a new weapon. The new weapon is a theory manufactured in the academy in the West, in the United States and Europe. And it goes by the name of settler colonialism. This is now the great sin committed by nation states. And the two leading perpetrators of this sin are Israel and the United States. And Israel is, of course, supported by the greatest perpetrator, the United States, which, according to theory of settler colonialism, stole this transcontinental territory we call the United States of America from its rightful owners, the Native Americans. I put in parentheses that, ironically, the settler colonialism slander actually depends upon a John Lockean theory of property and prior ownership. But never mind. The argument is that the Jews fled Europe. They came to the Middle East, this tiny sliver of land between the Mediterranean Sea and the Jordanian River, displaced the indigenous population, and now exercise oppressive rule over the indigenous population. That's settler colonialism, and that's supposedly what Israel has done.
So Zionism may be racism, but now Zionism is settler colonialism? Is that the formula?
Yes, it is actually both. The latter sin has not replaced the former sin. It amplifies the nature of the sin, yes.
You also point me to Doctors Without Borders, and there are other organizations like that. Have they adopted this understanding of settler colonialism in order to condemn the people that give them money?
Oh, yes. They officials from Doctors Without Borders and the other major human rights organizations suggest that if you are not taking the side of the Palestinians in the war that Hamas has inflicted on Israel, starting with the massacres of 2023, then you are allowing your mind to be continue to be colonized. That's their language. And you're continuing to side with the oppressors, the Israelis, against the oppressed, the Hamas-led government in Gaza, even though Israel withdrew all of its troops, all of its civilians from Gaza in 2005. Hamas has had total control over Gaza, total governing control since then. And if Hamas had abandoned its proclaimed intention to wipe out the state of Israel, the Gazans could have had a Riviera on the Middle East 10 years ago.
I learned from your reporting, this is amazing, Peter. In Washington, a man named Paul O'Brien, USA director of the Amnesty International, the quote you use, "We are opposed to the idea," and this, I think, is an existential part of the debate. He said this in open session, that Israel should be preserved as a state for the Jewish people. What? In 2022, he said that?
He said that he effectively supports the elimination of Israel, and he leads one of the world's largest and most influential human rights organizations. Mind-boggling that he puts himself behind the supreme violation of human rights, the wiping out of a state and its people.
What does Mr. Powell recommend, Peter? What do you recommend? We have about a minute.
The principal recommendation is, well, there are two recommendations in brief. One, men and women of good faith and understanding must do all they can to stand for the proper understanding of human rights, which is rooted in the U.S. Declaration and the U.N. Declaration of human rights. And second, we must reform our educational institutions so that they do not teach smears like settler colonialism and teach the complex truth about rights protecting democracies like Israel and the United States.
Peter Berkowitz of the Hoover Institution, writing Real Clear Politics.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
John Daly here. You know what day it is?
Neither do I.
I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily.
And the best part?
Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto, America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.